Welcome, everybody, to our August 12th meeting. I'd like to recognize the North Salt Lake Emergency...
Emergency Preparedness Volunteer is kind of a title that's good for right now.
Okay, welcome.
Marty Peterson.
Marty Peterson. I knew I'd met you before, but I couldn't remember your name. And our newest member, Jeff, what's your last name?
Scroger.
Scroger.
For the record, it's S-C-R-O-G-E-R.
And we're so glad to have you. I enjoyed chatting with you the other night.
I enjoyed chatting with you, too. Are these meetings recorded as well? Should I...
Yeah, they're public meetings, just like Parks and Arts.
Wasn't sure if I should be talking on microphone or...
It's pretty good, it'll pick you up.
Should pick it up.
Yeah, it's a lot better than the big city council room. So, has everybody had a chance to read the minutes from last... Well, Mason, have you had a chance to read the minutes from... Do you have any adjustments or corrections to make?
No.
Does anybody else have any corrections or comments? Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
I'll second that. Okay, so the minutes have been approved. Also, Linda, thank you for that email from that 6:20, for letting us know about the Everyday Strong class.
It was Craig that set it up, but...
Yes, and thank you for sending that.
You're welcome.
Jeff, did you get that email? It was just a...
He was on that. I just hit a reply all to one of Wendy's, so...
Okay, so let's mark that. I'm going to take note of that. And that is 9:25. Okay, the Health and Wellness Fair. I know Mason was able to, in fact, I saw most of you there. Does anybody have any feedback? Anything that you'd like to see next time that I can pass along to whomever's organizing it? Anybody?
I liked it. That was fun. Free hot dogs was a nice touch I wasn't expecting.
That's the police department.
Free food, yeah. Good job.
We're actually invading their event, so...
Yeah.
But it's great. It's a great combination, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was great to have a bunch of state agencies there. We had more than we normally do.
More than we've had in the past, which was...
Yeah, it was great.
How was the attendance?
The attendance was good.
The whole thing.
Attendance was good. There was one other time that I thought we had more, but I think the reason... This was the day that the smoke was really terrible, and it was really, really hot. So I think that might have played into some of it. But I thought we had good attendance.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah, we just didn't have a blowout.
It was normal
attendance. Yeah, there was one year when I think we had a really huge attendance. It's probably the one they had the climbing wall.
The climbing wall does bring people out.
They canceled like 2 days before, so it was too bad.
Detective Everett does a great job.
We did have a lot. I think we had a lot of families visit the fire truck and fire engine.
Yeah,
that was great.
My kids love the armored car.
Uh huh. That was cool.
We got two North Salt Lake police frisbees sitting in the windowsill so they can glow in the dark tonight.
Oh, that's cool.
After when it gets dark. And yeah, they had a lot of fun seeing all the fire truck and everything. Even the, not animal control, but...
Oh, the canine? The canine? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The demo?
Yeah, they had a lot of fun with all that.
Yeah.
Good canine demo is always a hit, too.
Yeah. Okay. So, Chief, I'll turn the time over to you, and you can report on the statistical data related to crime, sexual abuse, and suicide.
I apologize. I looked at the minutes. I don't see anything in our last minutes on that for me, and I'm not sure where that...
So we'll
is, that is that from the minutes of last time, and what are we...
I thought we deferred it last time from the time before.
But then we had some canceled meetings, so probably.
Yeah.
It's probably just.
I know the homelessness just.
The homelessness has come up.
That one was deferred, but I don't remember this one either.
I don't either, so.
Okay, so.
What would you like from us on that issue, on that item? Just kind of a report on crime generally throughout the city, or?
Yeah. And I thought that Chief had some data on that we talked about, like, it was probably May or something.
Is it from the coalition, the Davis County?
It was the confidential stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, they didn't provide kind of.
Yeah, we're not allowed to share that data. We were only allowed to view it, and they were very insistent that we don't copy it, take pictures of it, even, we weren't even allowed to take notes.
They didn't give it to us either.
But just in generalities.
So that's why I'm saying, and I like Ken's question, to those, I'm not quite sure how the makeup is gonna be next time. And what is it that you would specifically like to know that I could, like, substance abuse is such a broad issue, and I can give you, I mean, I can tell you before this meeting's over, suicide numbers.
Right, yeah, which we're not aware of necessarily.
Okay, what, so is that what you want? How many, since when?
The last, well, since the beginning of 2023. Has it risen over the last 5 years? I mean, is it steadily rising every year?
No.
Or?
I mean, I can tell you that right now, our suicide rate is not rising. It's not abnormally high compared to other places that I have seen and observed. We do have suicides. And we have accidental self-incurred deaths that may or may not be substance abuse related. But the other the two issues on there besides suicide, those are probably so vague that I don't know what the committee's looking for on what do you want to know about crime or substance abuse. Can
I've
you
got a
can
question
help me?
Too.
Okay.
I don't know, like, with the scope of our committee, what we need to know about crime, but with substance abuse and suicide, are we looking for information, like data on that, so we can offer resources, or is that what we're hoping to get?
Yeah, so we can target, you know, if there are health and wellness initiatives that can impact those numbers, you know, are there demographics that are unique to those situations? Are there, you know, without knowing that data, we don't even know, are they teenagers? Are they, you know, like there was one couple years ago in my subdivision that was very intentional, and that was a middle-aged guy.
So would that data help us, like, would it inform our decisions with, like, the classes we offer with Davis Behavioral Health?
Yeah.
Kind of thing? That's
because,
what we're looking for.
Because the scenarios around those situations are going to be, you know, can be very different. If it's a teenager who, you know, has a fleeting period of, you know, struggle, that we think we might be able to help the parents develop some skills to help help them or offer some programs or something like that. That's going to be very different from, you know.
So if I could just offer to this committee, the school district, if it's involving kids, the school district is already very good at working with us when it's appropriate to let them know what's going on, and they provide, we would be really duplicating services, again, for things the school district provides. When it comes to adults, which are, we don't have that many suicides to begin with. I'm just offhand thinking we may have had three this year so far, which is, you know, unacceptable, but that's still not statistically something that I think you haven't, if you only have three incidents of something in an entire year, they do fit.
It's not statistically significant
to
be able to draw conclusions.
They do fit into the standard, you know, the most successful demographic on a suicide is a middle-aged male adult. And there are resources there's tons of resources out there that I think people know about.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, you know, you have news stories where suicide is threatened or whatever, there's always, you know, you can call NAMI, you can call the Suicide Crisis Line. We've had just so far, since you were saying, there have been at least 5 instances where suicide threats have been directly addressed through mental health providers that are then directed to us. My opinion is that the Davis County Health Department, as well as the state of Utah, already provide a lot of those resources for those. I would not see a need for this committee to want to engage in a new program for suicide prevention.
Yeah, I don't know that we would do something new. We would just be able to try to channel resources to the city like we've done with Davis Behavioral Health, existing resources. So, but if they're already clearly in the community providing those resources, then what more can we do? So, and the reality is, if someone is determined, there's nothing that a community program is going to be able to do.
Yeah, Sherry's actually more tuned into things like NAMI and those kinds of things that deal mm-hmm. with, I think suicide's only a very small portion of NAMI, mm-hmm. but I guess maybe we could just you put out great things that are available through the county all the time on our posts. We could always just say, do you know someone that is suffering from depression? Here's Davis Behavioral Health's. They're really the only
mm-hmm.
government-funded
mm-hmm.
Provider out there.
Have any of them been elderly?
Wow, from a suicide standpoint, probably not.
At least the
that I can think of offhand.
Yeah, that we can, okay.
Can I ask a quick question? You mentioned NAMI. What is that?
National Alliance for Mental
Illness.
Illness.
So it's a nonprofit, nationwide program, and we have a Utah affiliate is our chapter. And they hold free classes, support groups for family members as well. So family members of people who have mental illness. So can teach them how to deal with their loved ones that are experiencing mental health crisis.
Davis County also has a whole crisis
yeah.
lifeline, suicide prevention section on their website too.
I think if you don't mind, I made a presentation to the city council 2 meetings ago about citizen committees and some recommended changes, and we're still working on those, but one of the changes that I recommended to the council for this committee is inviting, and this is not a new idea, Elisa has been talking about this, our council member liaison, inviting other public agency partners to be on this committee. So someone from the health department, someone from the school district, maybe someone from Davis County, either the sheriff or somebody like that, or any other representatives that we might consider. Even someone from Davis Behavioral Health could be appointed to be on the committee. And the idea behind that is to really have those experts help us to know how we could best use the city's resources and
mm-hmm.
what we could do, what problems are there out there that we can address. And it may be that Craig, I think, is absolutely right that it would not be helpful to duplicate services, but by having those other experts as a part of our committee from outside the city,
mm-hmm.
Our discussion at the city council was that may be helpful in informing us, at least, as to what problems our citizens are facing. And then we can craft education materials through Linda, or we can craft notices or postings, or we can
we could
have a more effective health fair where maybe we do it other than a night out against crime, and we do it here at City Hall, and people can come and be informed about
mm-hmm.
things. I don't know where those experts will take us,
mm-hmm.
but I'm sensing that what you're after through the police stats might be answered when we bring these folks from
mm-hmm.
the health department and from Davis Behavioral and the county and maybe the sheriff and and we and the school district, and we really start talking with experts about, well, what's really happening to our citizens in North Salt Lake as far as mental illness, or, you know, and you know, we have things like food insecurity, we have homelessness, we have substance abuse, which is just a gigantic area. And I think if we, my opinion is that bringing those folks in will help this committee in its role mm-hmm. to sort of educate. I think educating the public is probably where our role is important, to get the word out to our citizens that there are resources. And maybe we do that through an open house here twice a year, where we invite people in and come and learn and talk to experts, and, you know, free mental health services. I don't know.
I think it's important to know that from the statistical data standpoint, information that the police department could provide would probably be very incomplete when it comes to substance abuse, because substance abuse is such a wide category that it's way outside of just what we deal with police. I do not see our numbers of suicides, and I don't mean to be cold-hearted about this, but it's statistically concerning. Every suicide is obviously concerning, but we are not looking at some community crisis or, as an example, when I would be concerning, years ago I was a school resource officer in another city, and we had 3 suicides with youth at the same school within about a 3-month time period. To me, something like that becomes extremely a health and wellness, mental health, and police cooperative concern. We don't see those kinds of trends where there's relationships to the suicides. The ones we see are very much statistically in line with what we see statewide and frankly nationwide. Mm-hmm. And then finally, crime. Again, I'm happy to get any reports that this committee would feel like they want to know about crime. But first of all of that data is reported monthly to the state Bureau of Criminal Identification, and you can see up-to-date statistics of any city, including making comparisons as to where we are with the major crime categories. And I guess I would want just a little clearer understanding of, from the Health and Wellness Committee, if we do want to step in and say, what could we do to take action as a component of the city's committee input, these types of crimes we feel may relate to health and wellness, and if there's something the PD could step in and provide, we would do that. Obviously, we'd play our part in that. But most crime that I'm concerned about that has a health and wellness element, where I think we already have great resources in place that are very specific to the victim's needs. For example, domestic violence. We are very attentive to domestic violence in the city. Every 2 weeks, our command staff reviews every DV case that we respond on. And as part of that review, we ensure that Safe Harbor is appropriately involved, that our own clerk that deals with victim services is involved in following up to make sure that the victim knows what they were told the night of the domestic violence incident. Sometimes those are so emotionally charged that they may forget. Our policy is clear that there's a pamphlet that is handed out that has all these resources available to them, who we can call, how to get a protective order, where the shelters are. All of those kinds of needs are met. I think we go in above what state law requires that we do. So that would be one example where I think, hey, the Health and Wellness Committee may want to know what those numbers are, but I'm open to any more ideas, but what would you want to do in something like that?
I want to know personally, number one, are most of the crimes in North Salt Lake property crimes?
By far.
Okay.
Like 80% to, well, if you take DV out of it, 80% of our crimes are either traffic or property crimes.
So like open garage doors.
That's a part of it.
Where, you know, or stuff like that.
Frauds. We have a lot of businesses where it's fraud.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's one of the great things about our city that I think a lot of times residents don't remember is a fourth of our city is completely industrial or businesses.
Non-residential.
And those individuals generate the kind of crime that goes along with businesses. So scrapyard thefts, frauds, within employee embezzlement, things like that are occurring.
Okay. And then
And so is, would you say like the property crimes, are they generally committed by residents of North Salt Lake, or are these people coming into the community from outside of the community?
Yeah, great question. Probably a good mix of, pretty good mix of both. Some are vandalisms and those kinds of things are generally committed by juveniles within the city. Scrapyard thefts are generally committed by people outside the city.
Well, we have very easy access to the city from.
Which makes it great for all the other things that we like easy access for, and also makes for criminals to have easy access.
Good getaway.
And we bring in large numbers of people that are interested in work, that are either working or interested in working in these businesses. We employ, what would you say, 4,000 or 5,000?
In the industrial park, we have, it was over 10,000.
I mean, that's, I think, something to remember, that in our daytime pot, we may be a city of 25,000, but during the day, we're probably upwards of 35,000 people in the city that are.
Except for our people that go out, right?
Yeah, but those numbers are surprisingly, we have a lot of people that do not transfer out of North Salt Lake for their work. I looked at that.
That
report,
from the market study?
Yeah,
was
it the market study or was it
people?
Your study that you?
It was
the market study.
I think it was the wellness survey. They reported on that in the wellness survey.
I
but
looked at that.
But that's not statistically.
They got numbers.
She's talking about
the market study that
the consultant did with the.
It had similar numbers going
in and
out.
And the numbers of people going out north and people going out south, and then the people coming in from the north and in from the south.
Like a net,
and then there was like 700 people that live in the city that worked in the city.
Yeah. So anyway.
So are any of our categories of crime rising?
Uh-huh. Domestic violence is rising. Thefts are rising. Frauds in particular are probably rising.
Okay.
How's car theft? Or car burglaries.
So this year, we're in the state of, in Davis County, we are statistically the highest per capita for car thefts. We are the second or third highest in actual numbers. Layton, they're a much bigger city. They beat us in the number of car thefts. We're way lower than Salt Lake City or most of the northern half of Salt Lake County's car thefts, like South Salt Lake, Mill Creek, West Valley, those cities. But we do have easy access in. We're very close to areas of Salt Lake City that have serious car theft problems.
Mm-hmm. And I would expect that, because package theft in Foxborough is, you gotta be really vigilant if you're expecting a package theft.
Now, if I could just say something about that, we specifically track package theft, and mm-hmm. very, very few of those are ever reported to us.
Oh, really?
We had a time where they were being reported, and that's why we created a separate category to track package theft.
Mm-hmm.
But last time I looked, and it was probably in April or May, our package theft numbers were probably less than a dozen reported this year.
Do you think people having like the Ring cameras now has cut down on?
No, I think people just think there's nothing
pirates?
We can do.
Yeah.
And frankly, in a situation where it's already happened, we may not. This is why we constantly are trying to get the word out through the night out, through any neighborhood watch meetings that we are able to have. Even if we can't do something to solve your crime, let us know where it's occurring so that we can proactively
patrol
get out there and patrol that area and provide other.
I mean, if you had some idea of where it's happening,
and so
maybe
that's
you piece
news.
Together little
yeah.
pieces from different people, you can get a car description, or you can get
yeah.
something that a detective
yeah.
can work on. And these guys are mad dog detectives. They'll find people.
Yeah, they get a hold of a case and they want to run with it.
I think
people just aren't reporting it.
Yeah.
Well, if there's that many, then that's clearly what's happening.
Yeah.
So one thing that might be helpful from just you as citizens is please share with your neighbors. When you hear of this happening,
uh-huh.
we don't follow every social media group that's out there. I look at the Foxborough page once in a while, but I don't think I really see any. There is one HOA that I see their page from time to time. But I don't see a lot of package chefs even being chit-chatted on the Foxborough neighborhood page.
It's more dogs.
Yeah, there's a lot of
yeah.
dogs. There's
a
lot of lost dogs out there.
And Burger King or something.
Fireworks.
Cold fries at Burger King.
Yeah, fireworks. Yeah.
I think I read World War III this year in somebody's comment.
I will say,
about
the fireworks in Foxborough are phenomenal. Like, I wouldn't call it World War III, but like, they're not lying that they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're aerials everywhere.
Well, I mean, if you hate them, it might be World War III.
If you hate them,
if you love them, it's awesome.
If you love them,
yeah.
It's stunning.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is, but this year it went like 3 days beyond.
I know, yeah.
Yeah.
I read that.
Yeah.
Do you know how many calls we got on that, though? None.
That's because people say they're not going to do anything.
Oh, absolutely. We had discussions with the fire departments. You weren't staffed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, please let us know if you guys are hearing of situations where we can come out and write tickets, because we want to write these tickets and send a message. Again, I think there's a real concern with people. One of the things I've noticed with especially the Foxborough page is anytime anybody puts on there, I'm going to call the police or whatever, they're attacked. It's like, don't bring the police in on your neighbors. Mm-hmm. And I just...
They shouldn't say they're going to do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
if they're feeling that way.
Well, if you want to have the police involved in situations that are criminal, even if some people think they're minor, you have to call and tell us that it's going on, because the chances of an officer finding a firework, maybe, but a package theft, you know, we're not going to find that happening in progress. We need somebody to call and say that.
And some of the package thefts, I think, might be
delivered to the wrong place.
That's what I feel like I see a lot on the social media. It's like, hey, we were expecting a package. Did anyone get this?
Yeah, but sometimes delivery drivers will put a package down, take a picture, and then pick it back up.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. I haven't seen that here in Foxborough, but I've seen video of it happening where the actual driver is the one stealing. Mm-hmm. So, but the only way to know that is to go around and get video footage and all of that. So, anyway.
I'm so naive. I just figure my driver takes the picture, and I would never think that they would.
We've worked with Amazon over that. They have a lot of internal measures to protect themselves from that kind of employee theft.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but when it does happen, it goes viral pretty quick, because it is a relatively sensational but rare event.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anybody else have any questions about crime data?
So we don't need to do that next month, right?
No, I don't think so. And while we were in the midst of that discussion, Elisa came in, and I realized that I had not listed out for Wendy's benefit who all is here. It's Sherry, Ken, Chief, Linda. Now, Elisa, Mason, Jeff, Janet, and of course,
Marty,
our guest.
For Wendy's benefit, you also might just want to ask number two, is there any citizen comment? Because Marty does represent that.
Yes. Marty, is there any citizen comment?
No, thank you for asking.
Okay.
And I'm taking notes for Wendy. I always give her my little sheet where I write that stuff down for her, too.
Okay. So our next item is review and discussion of the homelessness presentation.
Yeah, that's me.
That's you.
It's loaded up here if you want to.
Will you pull it up?
Yeah.
So, as an overview, this is an issue that has mattered to me. And then last September, when we went to the state's Healthy Utah Conference, we sat with Wayne Niederhauser, who is the Utah State Coordinator for Homelessness. And I talked to him and asked if he would be willing to come to the city and present. So he came to the city in May and presented this presentation. I think this is a really relevant issue for our city because of our proximity to downtown and because homelessness in general is increasing throughout the state, but definitely in Salt Lake. Additionally, the state has mandated that every county identify a homeless services location, and there I've come to be aware that that conversation is that that would be placed in North Salt Lake. I personally think that that's terrible with regard to services, because I feel like all that will do is turn into a spillover service location for Salt Lake City homelessness, and it will not actually serve residents of Davis County and Clearfield and Syracuse and the scope of the county.
So it would attract homeless from Salt Lake as opposed to dealing with...
Especially because it's intended to be on the west side. I can't remember the name of the facility, something like...
Lifeline
facility that is on...
Center
Street, all the way down to the west side. Like, it's literally, you know, a stone's throw within the county. And it's also really close to the river, which has a problem with homelessness and camping. And I think that it will just turn into a spillover service place for Salt Lake City homelessness, which I want for there to be more facilities and resources available for that population as well, but I feel like it will be on the backs of Davis County residents, taxpayers, and North Salt Lake in particular. So I have a lot of concerns about that. In fact, before we move on from that, Ken, I know that you were looking into some coding concerns or issues or questions, and maybe I should phrase that differently. Could this facility be used as a homeless overnight service?
Yes, in all likelihood, we think it could.
In our current coding?
Mm-hmm.
Is the coding such that any facility within that area could do this, or did this facility?
No, this facility was granted a conditional use permit.
Does the conditional use permit stay with the facility or with the business that got that conditional use permit?
It doesn't necessarily stay with the land, I don't think.
It's attached. It would be attached to the land, but the use would have to be exactly the same.
Yeah, the use is very similar.
Be mental health services
for youth.
For youth right now. So this could be
But they have 20 live-in, it's a residential treatment facility also.
Yeah, it is a type of residential treatment facility, yes.
So there is...
Group home.
Yeah, so we're just learning about the proposal. I just had a meeting today with the county, first time. You probably learned about it before I did.
If you learned about it today, yes, I did.
Yeah. So we had our attorney there. And we're looking at the details of it.
Did the county identify this location as a location for the county?
This location went under contract, and we were asked not to say who it is, but with a provider of homeless services. So Lifeline is going out, selling the property.
Are they moving somewhere? Or are they?
I think they're just going out of business.
That's what I heard too.
And so this operator is working with the state of Utah and with Davis County to provide homeless.
And Davis County identified the
services.
No.
Well, no, these people came in, they put it under contract and then approached the state and the county.
So currently for the conditional use permit, they would have to provide residential treatment services for youth.
No, I don't think so.
What do you think it would be?
Well, we're not sure. I mean, we're looking at it, but it's unlikely that we will win a challenge on the conditional use, on denying a conditional use in this case.
How come?
That's our attorneys. That's what our
because
attorneys.
They feel a lot like the group home, don't they? I mean, I wasn't there for that meeting, but weren't they a lot like the group home?
I mean, I don't think I can give you a complete answer because we're still looking at it, but his answer today was it's likely the city would not be able to turn down a conditional use for this.
Because of the state mandate? Or because of legal risk?
No, because the use is very similar to what's here now.
And you can apply conditions to it that would mitigate your concerns.
Yeah.
So unless you can't find any conditions that would mitigate the actual danger that it would be to the community, you have to approve it. There's a presumption of that. So even if it's a new conditional use permit.
We're going to discuss it at City Council, too.
So that shouldn't go out in the public yet because there's really not anything that we know for sure.
We shouldn't have that discussion on a public meeting then.
Can I ask, is the building going to be changed at all or is the building going to remain?
We don't know.
We haven't met with the provider at all, so we don't even know how they operate yet or anything. I just learned about it today, too.
Okay.
And have all sorts of the same questions.
I mean,
I'm not
trying to be evasive. Maybe you and I could speak. Alone, so that it's not the county specifically asked us not to discuss it.
Well, I will go on the record saying I am frustrated with the county for feeling like we will pick up their messy pieces over and over again. So that is another issue and another
problem
for another time.
It is.
Okay.
We expressed some of those same concerns.
Yeah.
Well, and two, I mean, I think focusing it on the particularly the south end of the city. It's just going to attract people that are in Salt Lake. It's not going to help Davis County homeless.
No.
It's going
to. I agree. I share that sentiment entirely.
One of the statistics they did share was that because we don't have facilities here, that there are 200 people who are residents of Davis County who had to go to Salt Lake County to get homeless services. So people who were living here and became homeless have to leave our county to get services. So.
Yeah, Davis County
which is
does.
Absolutely problematic. So,
yeah.
But putting the services 100 yards outside of Salt Lake County does not actually solve that problem. It just changes who's paying for it,
and the,
but still in the same location.
Yeah.
And there are types of homeless services. There are the ones where you check in at 7 p.m. and then you're kicked out at 7 a.m. The other types where you become a resident and you get job training and support for mental health and
I hope
find a pathway to housing. So there are different levels.
And I hope that they are also going to work with UTA to restore some sort of bus service, because
bus service is on the 5-year plan, and they said they're going to restore the route at the early part of their 5-year plan. So we've been working on that separately, totally independent
yeah.
of this.
Well, I think the
topic.
Two should be linked, because if they're going to, if Salt Lake, if those people are going to need transportation, and nobody can tell me that every one of them is going to have their own car.
They won't.
Okay. So that is an adjacent point, but absolutely relevant to our conversation about identifying homelessness as an issue that matters for this committee and something that we can do something for. So Wayne Niederhauser came to the City Council, he presented in May, talked about, and I'll maybe summarize because the details, can we share that presentation?
Absolutely.
Just email it to...
Yeah, we'll put it in the Dropbox for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was Wayne Niederhauser, I think I might have seen that here at City Hall. Mm-hmm. Was he the former legislator?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
He used to be Senate President.
Thanks.
He provided a lot of good data about the prevalence of homelessness. But one thing that I really loved about his presentation is he emphasized the point that homelessness is a community-level problem, that it is not it is not solved by looking at it as an individual problem, that there's an individual who is homeless and they need to solve that problem, but it is a community problem, and I love that. So with the goal of how do we then as a community support our community members who might be experiencing housing issues, I brainstormed some ideas, both of things that we are already doing and think that we could potentially do. I would like to share those, and then I would also love to hear your brainstormed ideas of like what at a community level might we be able to do in North Salt Lake. So things that I feel like we are already doing to help support those that might be struggling with housing. One is what Chief just talked about, which is support for domestic violence situations and the sharing of resources that happens. Largely, this population will be interfacing with the police more than they're interfacing with other community members, like City Hall, neighbors potentially, but their most direct interface is the police. And that becomes true for a lot of these issues. And so having the police officers that we do that are so good at sharing resources and reviewing cases, which I loved hearing that as well, I think it creates this kind of safety net that I hope that we have in North Salt Lake. So one is sharing resources for domestic violence. Two is having a housing continuum. I think as a city, we have a pretty impressive housing continuum from low income all the way up into high income. And I feel like as a community, that is a resource to help support homelessness. I live in Foxborough, and one of the reasons why my husband and I chose Foxborough is because we could live in the same neighborhood and rent an apartment and buy a small house and buy a bigger house, and we've done all of those things in the one neighborhood. So I feel like that is a success that North Salt Lake has done. We have a really wide continuum of housing options. Another one is collaborating with Davis Behavioral Health, which we have done multiple times, and I'm grateful that we continue to do, so that we are providing mental health resources within the city. I will say from the Pride event, we had many mental health providers there for the Pride event, and those were some of the best booths. The providers were really happy to be there, and they got a lot of action and activity. I think that for a lot of people, there is a barrier between actually finding mental health services and who is a therapist I might know and how do I go there and how do I set up an appointment. All of these things kind of can create obstacles. So expanding not just from that event, but maybe for like our health and wellness event, inviting mental health service providers to come and give booths, so that now people coming to our events are like, well, I remember seeing this agency and this group and this practice, and now I've got a couple that I know I could reach out to. So that's the third
and
one.
And actually, any form of healthcare, mental health, wellness provider that has a business license in North Salt Lake was invited.
Oh, that directly?
Yes.
Wow.
I sent a letter to.
Well done, thank you.
Yeah, that's what, that's how I do it, is I get a list of all of them. There's like a 13-page list. I go through and I highlight, because they're all categorized in their business license, and I look and see who would be appropriate. And there, I give the list back to the city with the draft letter. I send it to Ken, and then he has somebody mail those all out.
That's amazing.
And all they have to do is then respond to me and say, yeah, I want to
come. Thank you. That's amazing. Another one that I feel like we're already doing is, as a city, we have prioritized city wages in a way that we are aware of and seek to support, especially lower wage earners, that they are also being considered and being given cost of living increases. So as far as putting into the system of wage earners, we are not employing anyone who, if they're going to work full time, is going to feel like they're at risk of housing issues, where other large corporations might employ people who work full time and they still might not be able to pay for housing. North Salt Lake City is not one of those places, and I'm very proud of that. Okay, now there were a couple of, now I've got a list of things, areas that I brainstormed of where we could, as a committee, do something to, again, help create this community safety net. One of those is with lease and landlord negotiations, and this idea actually came from Valerie Watson, who used to sit on this committee, and this is an area that she works professionally in. But what that would mean is somebody probably at the city or maybe at the courts, that when there are lease and landlord issues where somebody's being evicted because they haven't been able to pay rent, the city or the courts could share some resources with them, where that would say, like, hey, if you're struggling right now, here's a grant program that might be able to buy you, you know, a month of rent, or here are some of your legal rights as a tenant so that you can stay in your house while you're trying to sort this piece out. Whatever those bits are, I am not an expert in that, so I don't know what those are, but that might be something that we maybe put some effort in and prioritize. And again, the kind of crux of what this is the sharing of information. I came in when we were talking about not duplicating services, and that's been something that we've talked about on this committee many, many times. I'm not interested in taking this on as a task. I'm interested in sharing these resources.
Okay, one thing I'd like to comment on, my other volunteer gig has been for about the last 5 years working with a organization that provides legal assistance to refugees. And one thing that I do all the case intake, and we get a lot of landlord-tenant stuff. The laws in, and actually Jeff might be able to speak to this better than I can, but the laws in Utah greatly favor the landlord. Like, it's way outsized. And unless, you know, a lot of times it's they're being evicted, and then the landlord tries to get retain the deposit and charges them for damages. But if they didn't take a picture when they moved out, you know, oftentimes they'll say, oh, it was like this when I moved in. But if they didn't take a picture when they moved in, if they didn't take pictures when they moved out, then they have no way to prove that they didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, and I'm not saying in North Salt Lake, because none of our refugees were in North Salt Lake, but in Salt Lake and West Valley and that area is generally where they were. Low-income individuals, I think the landlords will know that they probably don't have resources to fight, and maybe don't have the educational background to know that they need to protect themselves in various ways. And so it, you know, really puts the renter at a disadvantage.
You should ask them to keep it confidential.
So, that might be a hard nut to crack. And it might be just, if landlords know that there are resources here to help a renter, maybe that will be enough to deter bad behavior on the part of landlords.
Yeah.
I could never tell, you know, was the refugee really at fault, or was the landlord taking advantage?
Yeah.
But I'm sure that it was a mixture of both.
Yeah.
You know, some cases where the landlord knew they could get away with it,
One of the things that we have here is a good landlord program, and so people who are landlords and have get certified with that program, then they pay a lower business license fee, so it's a lot less, so it's a huge incentive. And we were approached by one of the company that teaches the good landlord course, and he gave us his cards and said, you know, if you have tenants come in that are complaining that they have issues with their landlords, please have them contact me, and we're happy to reach out to that landlord and talk to them. So we do stuff like that too.
That's fantastic.
That's really cool.
And having a tiered structure like that, where if they're behaving well, you know, everybody has a right to make money, you know, as long as they're being fair and behaving themselves, fantastic. And if they get sort of preferential treatment for being a good landlord.
Because it's a two-way street, right?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I like that's the kind of thing cities can do, is to give them a break on, you know. So anyway, but publicizing that information too might be helpful.
Would you say, like, most of, or like, what percentage of the owners in the city have done this good landlord program?
It's a high percentage.
It's a very high percentage.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Probably because they
most
get
of,
lower fees.
Yeah, because it's like $90 per unit less in their on their business license.
Oh wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if they have a lot of units,
that's really cool.
Yeah. If you got a 300 unit complex.
Yeah, I would say all of our large landlords.
All of the large complexes
are doing that.
And then anybody who has more than four or more properties is required to have a business license.
Okay.
So
yeah, and when my mom moved out of Hampton Place, I had to, you know, clean out the apartment and all of that, and they were fabulous. But I was also sitting there with my phone on record on a video saying, okay, if I can't get it in writing, I need you to tell me that you've inspected the apartment and everything is fine. So I have it on video.
Smart.
But I wonder if there is, I don't know how we would get it to new residents, but before somebody signs a lease, like, here's an information packet. I don't know how you'd ever get it though to somebody before
possible.
They sign a lease, but
and we don't get a lot of complaints
from
tenants,
and I don't know if we'd have any way of knowing if we have many people in our city who this was their last housing, right, where this is where they fell off of having secured housing. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Okay, I'll run through the rest of these, but then I want to have a brainstorm. So another one is to collaborate with Division of Workforce Services, and that would be for employment issues. So if people are having a hard time finding a job, and that's why they're not being able to, you know, pay for their rent, and that might look like inviting them to our events, having them have booths, something like that. Childcare resources. One obstacle to employment, which then becomes an obstacle for finances for housing, is if you don't have anywhere for your children to go. So this again would be the sharing of resources. If there was like a compiled list of childcare resources within the city, and individuals could then like search for them either on the city website or something, but this again is the sharing of resources. Let's see. I already talked about that one. The last one, and I really do love this one because it has a personal meaning to me, is we're collaborating with Utah Foster Care Foundation. I used to work there when years and years ago, like 20 years ago. I would like to invite them to more of our events. The idea being that if you are, you know, your life is falling apart and you are in need of support for your family care as well, that those homes are in your community instead of now your kids are going, you know, to Centerville or to Salt Lake or to somewhere else. But instead, we have a safety net here in North Salt Lake for families that are really struggling, that their kids are going to stay here in the community. So that is would just, I think, be inviting them to more events. Now, the city could choose to do something bigger and, like, partner with them in a really big way, but that's kind of my initial idea. And then the very last one, and this is something that Wayne Niederhauser brought up specifically, is looking to religious communities. He identified that they have a good history of caretaking and showing kind of resilience and creating a safety net, and so maybe in some ways, I don't know how exactly, but like activating that network a little bit more. Currently, it feels to me that there's like the city and the government network, and then there are religious community networks, and they really don't cross over. And I don't know, maybe it needs to be that way, I don't know. But if there was some way that we could better activate those networks and support those networks, I think that that would be worthwhile. Okay, those are my ideas. I would love any ideas of other ways that we in this committee could help support and address the issue of homelessness in our city. Any other comments or ideas, concerns?
Something just popped in my head. You know, we have a lot of businesses. You know, we talked about that before you came in, how many businesses we have in our cell. Like, I don't know how we would do it, but to incentivize North Salt Lake businesses to hire North Salt Lake residents. I have no clue how you would do that, because for them it's going to be a financial incentive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. And like when it comes to their tax share, their employment taxes, that goes to the state. It doesn't go to the city anyway.
Do they have a North Salt Lake business license?
Yeah.
So maybe something that we, you know, kind of mimic the landlord, good landlord program, and maybe offer a discount on, you know, you get so many dollars off your business license per year for each employee.
How would you track that, and who would get it? Because
yeah, like
if one business has 1,000 employees and one has 10 employees, but their business license is both $500.
So the business license is the same.
Yeah, I mean, they're...
It could be.
It's
seems
possible,
like there's some,
you know, they're not,
yeah.
They're not based on,
and they're not very
size.
Exorbitant, you know, they're just,
and
in fact,
just processing fees, basically.
Mason has a good point that that might also run into discrimination laws, that you can't give preferential treatment to people who live in a certain place, who don't, or don't. I don't know. It's an interesting idea.
Geography's not a protected class, though, so.
Okay.
And they could still hire anybody they want to hire. It's just that they'd get the incentive.
Yeah,
if
that's
they.
True.
Something I noticed is that, you know, if we're talking about kind of activating the community or kind of getting the community more aware, is, you know, we talked about the Anti Against Crime and how, like, the police giving out free hot dogs was a really big deal. I don't think we have to give out free hot dogs, but I think I see often community resources at the food truck nights, and they don't get a lot of foot traffic. So if there's maybe some way where we can continue to have those community resources, maybe have more, but maybe sort of either logistically find some way to increase foot traffic to them. I was thinking maybe we could have like, kind of use like the shopping mall model where you have, and I know the food truck night people must know this, that there are certain food trucks that are more popular than others, and maybe have the popular ones be anchors at either end, and then have kind of other food trucks, and then maybe intersperse community resources between the two anchors or three anchors or what have you. But the logistics problem of that is you have a community resources tent next to a generator that's spewing fumes, so that doesn't really work. So I don't know if there's maybe some way to kind of intersperse community resources and trucks, but also maybe to kind of logistically spread the trucks or choreograph where the trucks are parked in a way that spreads people out. I don't know. Maybe have community resources, you know, maybe on one side, but on that pavement area, where they're kind of more in the kind of foot traffic area between the trucks, you know, but maybe have like a section of community resource tents kind of with a horseshoe of food trucks or something. I don't know.
One idea that I had just based on this conversation and the meeting that we had earlier today, the mayor was in it, and he was expressing how the food banks have said their demand has gone up, and maybe there are things that we could do to do food drives to help support the our local food banks. Because if our community members who are doing well don't know that we have a lot of community members that aren't doing well, and we could try to support more food drives in our city events, you know, like, oh, come to our Christmas tree thing, and we're also doing a food event. These are the things that we need. We need peanut butter and tuna fish and mac and cheese, and like provide specific lists, you know, targeted things. It's back to school, you know, kids need da 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 da. I mean, like kind of those things.
Maybe also if we have a local food pantry that has a table set up, maybe on a having something where you have their QRC code with their Venmo on it, and you could say, like, if you Venmo us $5, this is what it will buy. And you can kind of show people, and maybe you can kind of solicit donations right there. Because
yeah.
a lot of people might show up and not have, you know, canned goods or want to bring something, but they're willing to drop $5.
I went to the Ladies of Charity website today. That's our North Salt Lake one. And they do, they've got a big QR code right on their website. They've got their tax ID number on there. I mean, they've made it really easy to donate cash if you don't want to drop off things. So.
Well, and knowing, well, a couple of things as you were talking. I mean, like, I hear people talk about the price of food and stuff like that, but I don't know people who can't afford to feed their families. I mean, I know it exists in our community somewhere, and I'm sure there are families that are struggling, but I don't know of anybody who, like, literally can't feed their family.
I wonder if, I'm interrupting, but I, and Brian may remember the numbers better than I do, but the Ladies of Charity, they were talking about the thousands.
Yeah, like it was four times the amount
in
from
North
last
Salt
year
Lake.
To this
I mean,
year.
I mean, that they are helping. Yeah, and
yeah.
And it's possible we just don't know because people aren't going to advertise.
And he
that,
said the
know?
Numbers today, and I did not, I cannot retrieve them from my brain.
Yeah, me either, but it was staggering how
it
many
was,
it, they
I just
are serving
remember
in the
being
community.
Floored. And so then when
yeah.
you were saying, what are some things that we can do? Because I think food insecurity is really. You know, a big thing
yeah.
because if you've got to pay, you know, your light bill or buy groceries, making those choices are hard, right?
Right.
And you have to pay your rent. So any little bit kind of helps. And along those lines, we used to have the CDBG grants. We did the home improvement grants that would help, you know, fix a water heater or something for people who met certain income.
Uh-huh.
Or below, and that helped, you know, keep them in their houses. So I wish that we could figure out a way to do that again, if we could get like a sponsor to do it so we could run the program, you know, get some of these companies in the city to contribute to those kind of programs. I think that would be
yeah
a worthwhile cause.
And I think the more affluent in our community know it exists nebulously,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know anybody who's in that situation, and they don't know, like, what foods they, you know, all they can do is open their pantry and go, okay, well, I'll pull some of these things out. They don't, but then you hear that the food bank, for every, they can buy $7 worth of food for every dollar that they're given. And so my husband and I, what we do generally, I mean, we still give to some of the food drives if there's a food drive, but what we do is every year at the end of the year we write a fat check, and because it's like, well, they can do better than we can do
yeah.
with that money. And so I love the idea of having a QR code. No, I don't have Venmo because I still live in the 20th century.
That's why I mentioned
but most people do.
Yeah,
yeah.
Except
you and I are the only ones
yeah.
that don't.
My husband refuses.
And my wife.
But I love that idea because, especially if we can show, you know, if they have a poster that says $5 will buy this, and I would venture to guess Utah Food Bank has some kind of graphic like that that they
yeah.
could give us.
And I think if you're at, yeah, if you're at the food truck now, you are at a certain level of affluence where you can go and
right.
buy food at a premium. So dropping an extra $5, knowing that other people. Are, you know, facing food insecurity would be a pretty easy ask.
Yeah.
I think also, you know, if we're talking, I know like on the PTAR committee, there's kind of talk of, you know, what events can we do this, you know, in the fall and in the winter. So maybe inviting those same groups to have a presence at those events
mm-hmm.
would be nice. I think especially at the holidays, and making people often feel.
It's a great thing we could add to the Christmas event.
That's
I think it's fantastic
yeah.
to do that during the Christmas event.
Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And even have a food drive on the last, like, two food truck nights. Because it's canned goods and
mm-hmm.
non-perishables.
And as long as you say, like, look, these are the things that are in need, or you can just donate cash
yeah.
to this Venmo
mm-hmm.
or whatever, to
mm-hmm.
this QR code.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes
That's
directly
great idea.
To them, and then they can spend the money. So some people feel want to go and buy the things because they feel that's something they can show their children.
Yeah.
Right? Like that.
It's tangible.
It's more tangible than to say, oh, I'm scanning this QR code, kids, and giving $10 to the food bank, right? But I'm just saying that there might be, we could make some efforts in that area.
So could you do graphics for something like that?
Yeah, if I have the data, I can.
And we could even, at the, you know, we could have a physical food drive as part of the last two, at least last one, but last probably two food truck nights, and hype that, and then introduce this QR code thing, because not everybody's going to bring stuff. And people could even use the QR code from the Facebook post, even if they don't, I don't go to food truck nights, but I mean, I, as you guys were talking, I was thinking, well, maybe we could have a food distribution thing at the food truck night, but I think people who need food are not going to want to do that in front of people buying food at the
market. Yeah, I don't think that's the right spot.
The Youth City Council does a mobile food pantry, you know, on the fourth Tuesday of every month at the Moda Apartments. You know, I mean, I think we could probably involve the Youth City Council in that as well. They work directly with the Bountiful Food Pantry, but I know the Ladies of Charity Food Pantry here would like some help and support,
and
too.
I think one
so
of the
I
first things we could do is reach out to them and
that's
say,
just
look,
what I was thinking,
we've got
they would
some
probably
food drives.
Like to come, they would come be at these
yeah.
events, I'm sure.
They so might even.
And maybe they, you know, kind of to your first point this evening is maybe they have more expertise and
yeah.
they have ideas that will help.
Or they could provide a list of things they need the most or,
yeah.
you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then we can do, I think Linda has a great role of educating and pushing stuff out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think those folks in charge of that food pantry could do kind of the meatiest part of it.
Making an effort to add that on to other events that
yeah.
we're already doing.
Yeah,
that
yeah that's a great
busy. Also,
idea.
Hey, it's our July food drive. Hey, it's our September food drive.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Yeah, and
if you
don't
have time
it,
to
like,
bring these canned goods, you can just Venmo.
Yeah, and if we do it like at least quarterly, if not like every other month, you know, if we did it every month, I don't know, people might go, oh, here we go again. But
yeah, and it becomes like important.
Yeah, but if we do it once a quarter, mm-hmm. and but especially really focusing before holidays, because people tend to feel more generous going into those holidays. But nobody wants people to be without for Thanksgiving dinner or
it would be, as Jeff mentioned, it would be easy because we've got our Halloween spooktacular that may be turning it into a 5K run. And then we've got our Winter Lights Fest that first week of December. So right there, you know, you've kind of got it quarterly if you wanted to incorporate it into some of the city events.
I think
events.
It might be fun to make it into a challenge.
That's
for
right.
other communities. Can yeah. North Salt Lake collect more food, more pounds of food, or more dollars worth of food than Bountiful or Woods Cross? You know, and make it a friendly little...
definitely be Woods Cross.
Just be a friend, you know, just be a friendly little... competition, because then we're all helping.
Right. If we make it a competition, could we do the same thing between the schools?
Or at the schools even.
And they may already be doing them that time of year, aren't they, the schools?
Yeah, and a lot of them that I spoke to lately have been interested in doing food drives as like part of their kindness initiative.
Yeah.
Things.
Yeah, my kids always did the food drives at school.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of them know about
I think Orchard
the North Salt Lake food. Someone I've talked to them. Even
the schools?
Yeah.
Oh,
Wasatch Peak.
Yeah.
And then even Wasatch Peak, they have a service project with park cleanup, and they said they do it with Bountiful. And I said, come on, guys. What are you thinking?
Really?
Yeah. So I told them they should do it with the North Salt Lake Parks this year.
Since they're in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
So is Ladies of Charity is specific to North Salt
mm-hmm.
Lake?
Yeah.
And that's another thing, is to partner with a North Salt Lake community, you know, organization, because then it stays in North Salt Lake. And like, I donate blood every 2 months, and I go to ARUP mainly because it's convenient. But their big selling point is, I say selling in quotes, but is it stays in Utah, where the Red Cross we're the supplier for Nevada, and I think people like to feel like they're helping their own community.
Mm-hmm.
So working with a food bank that is going to supply North Salt Lake residents, I think people feel closer to home as opposed to just donating to the Utah Food Bank or the Bountiful One.
Mm-hmm.
Where
do you think
the
Ladies of Charity would want to be the food bank, like, do a table at some of our food truck nights where they, even if they're not distributing food, they could be collecting and then educating people, like, hey, did you know there's actually a food bank right here in our city? Because I think most people don't know.
Yeah.
No, I didn't either. I mean,
yeah.
I kind of was aware, but I just kind of, I thought they were kind of just
well, and you're super involved. For people who are not super involved and who are.
Right. I mean, I have known for several years, but earlier on.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a gal that's actually a neighbor of ours that had kind of reached out, Dworshak. Mary Ellen Dworshak is her name, and she's actually, she has the Amazon donations sent to her address because they're not at their location over here all the time, but she'd be a good one to talk to.
Okay.
Could we have her come to next month's meeting?
Sure, we certainly
and talk
can.
About, you know, just mm-hmm. for 15 minutes we can put her right at the beginning and you know, have
do you want
her
me
tell
to
us
ask
what
her?
Their needs are and how we can
help.
Sure.
Okay, I will summarize some of these ideas, and then if I can be on the agenda for next time, I will go over, like, this seems to be the pieces we're taking forward. Did you
I
want to
say I really like the idea of the foster care and keeping kids within the community. That was one that speaks to me a lot. I think that's really important.
Yeah,
I like that
people.
One.
I want to say with what Jeff was saying earlier with people finding out about these resources at the food truck night, and a very difficult question to ask is how do we get more people to follow us on Facebook? I don't go to food truck night. I'm
mm-hmm.
on the other side of the city, but ever since I followed the city Facebook page, I find out about all sorts of things. There's the Citizen Police Academy, there's the Get to the River event,
yeah.
and there's all these fun things going on, and I can't do them all, but I know they're going on, and I go to a lot more of them. So, like, what's a way at some of these events or something to get more people to
sign up? That's a great question.
Follow us
Linda,
on Facebook.
Linda's been working on
yeah.
that for years.
You know, but,
yeah.
but maybe I'm not thinking outside the box either. I mean, we could certainly put a QR code at the food truck nights here, follow the city, you know, like us on Facebook, you know, whatever. I should be pushing that out more in some other locations because I agree that's kind of been a frustration. Once we stopped mailing a paper newsletter,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people aren't finding out about things. So
especially
you know,
the elderly.
Is it the Unity and the
right.
Community event? Like follow us on Facebook and you get a button or something.
Mm-hmm.
People like get inspired or something. Like I just have a little
mm-hmm.
QR code there with the city booth at the events or something like that.
Yeah.
Because ever since I followed, I get a lot more.
Now you're like,
I'm in the know.
The city does lots
yeah.
of cool things.
I know there's Utah state laws that make it illegal to have lotteries,
mm-hmm.
and I know that also they include raffles in the realm of under what a lottery is. But maybe something like you're saying where. There's all those kind of promotional things you see on Instagram. I don't mind Facebook, but on Instagram, people will say, you know, post a comment and share with two of your friends, and you'll be entered to win this prize. So I don't know if we'd be breaking the law by offering some sort of prize, like some sort of gift basket or
yeah.
gift card to something. Or,
yeah.
I don't know.
The
but that wouldn't.
Snow.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we'll plow your street first this winter. but
get out of your driveway for
your
card.
Yeah. yeah, I was gonna say
we'll turn the plow.
That would work if we weren't so darn fast already.
Yep.
You know.
Okay, thank you.
That
was good discussion.
That probably would only spur a little bit, but it might be something
yeah.
where maybe a little bit is tomorrow and is tomorrow.
During COVID, that group that came, that did the
scavenger
hunt, that was one of the things they put on their scavenger hunt was to follow the North Salt Lake Instagram page. And that was awesome because, yeah, we got a lot of followers during that time.
I lived in a community that that would give prizes for people who had the most beautiful front yards and stuff like that.
Oh, I want that.
I know. It would
yeah.
be you, of course, because you have that cool train set.
They had it for a while when I started working here.
I mean, there's lots of things like that. We could.
Yeah.
But to your point, maybe we do offer something.
Yeah.
don't know, we'll think about
it. I'm just thinking some cheesy trophy that we get to keep here at City Hall, and then Bountiful tries to steal it, and then we try to steal it back. And we just all are doing really good work in the meantime.
I went to the University of Wisconsin, and it is a really, really big deal. They have
right.
There's a bunch of really fabulous, beautiful trophies that are really prestigious in the world of college football. But every year, there's a giant Paul Bunyan axe that changes hands between Wisconsin and the University of Minnesota. And whoever wins gets the Paul Bunyan axe. And it's a tradition that's gone on for like 70 years. It used to be a slab of bacon, and then it was a slab of like fake bacon made of wood, and then they changed it to an axe. But it is like, every year I care the most about the Minnesota game. I can't wait to see if we win it. So honestly,
to keep it again
what's
this
something,
year.
Like, Linda knows this about me. I'm obsessed with us promoting dinosaurs as our heritage, because it is ultimately our heritage here. But maybe like some sort of like food pantry dinosaur. You know, like who can you know. Eat the most, I don't know.
Who gets the mask, the blow-up mascot
Paul
in their
very, you know, very
in front of
particular
City Hall.
To Wisconsin and Minnesota culture, so something that's very particular to our culture, that Bountiful and North Salt Lake share, maybe something.
A big giant foam finger, number one.
And can you talk to her about whether, Linda, could you talk to her about whether they could come to, because I think if we wait till September's meeting, it might be a little... On the tail end of the food, when do the food trucks?
The last day is September 23rd.
Yeah, so it would be too late if we wait.
Yeah, we can reach out to her now. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just
start doing
well, that would be if she wants to come multiple times.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would want to come multiple times, or if they want to like pick one event. I don't know.
We might want to invite them to those things, but still
yeah.
Then have them come and say, what else can we do going into the holidays?
Right.
What are the other things
yeah.
we could partner with them yeah.
right.
on and come to the next September meeting and talk to
yeah.
us?
Yeah.
I also like the idea of the youth council. Maybe they're in charge of a food drive for the last two Monday nights. You know.
Yeah, I would love to.
And the idea of
them.
A Venmo QR code is something we do at the Christmas event with a food drive.
Yeah,
I do think it's a good idea to have all of the food drive focus not be just on food trucks, because like you were saying, you don't go to food trucks.
Mm.
And so it's we're missing out on a group in the city that
yeah.
might be willing to.
Right.
So the Christmas event, maybe the Halloween event, and then maybe the Easter egg dash.
Yeah.
And then we do like these
mm-hmm.
four times
yep.
during the year.
I think it's great. Especially if you tell people what we're looking for. As you go into winter, you know, we might even consider, like where I live, they did a clothing drive and they said, we need children's winter jackets, and they gave a bunch of sizes, and they said, please make sure they're new, and, you know, it was great, and they picked up, you know, a couple hundred winter coats for kids who didn't have coats.
They also do a thrift store, so
yeah.
they've got a food pantry and
so we can do
store.
Used clothing, too.
And if they have a thrift store, I didn't know it. I go all the way to DEI.
They apparently do.
And
so it might be good to know what they need
yeah.
so
yeah.
we can
yeah.
coordinate
and
with them.
And
yeah, I think publishing what we're looking for ahead of time is
yeah.
can help people.
I always feel that's the best when I want to give something. I want to know what they need.
I
saw an ad somewhere today, I think on my lunch when I was, they were saying, these are the things we need, like peanut butter and canned meats and...
Yeah, Cottonwood High School near my house in Salt Lake does two food drives a year, and they have a huge pantry. But they always publish what they need the most. And they get just, like, people go, it's a two-day drop-off. It's a Friday and a Saturday. And they fill their entire auditorium both days with stuff. It's just amazing.
Speaking of that.
But that's super organized, you know. It's,
yeah, now who sponsors it? The high school?
It's... the Cottonwood High School Food Pantry sponsors it, and then it goes through multi-denominational churches.
Uh-huh.
Like there's a Catholic church involved, an LDS church, and there's just a whole bunch of different organizations that come together. It goes through the Murray Chamber, it goes through a whole bunch of places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, all the neighborhoods get energized, and there's a line to wait to drop off the
mm-hmm.
stuff. It's amazing. Sorry, Jeff.
No, I was going to say, speaking of that, I do know, you know, I have a friend who's a teacher at a a Title I school, and she talks about kind of the things that they need. Mm-hmm. She kind of constantly needs things.
Yeah.
Because she's dealing with kids that are not, are, you know, sometimes living in shelters, sometimes,
yeah,
you know, are dealing with home insecurity, food insecurity, just resources insecurity.
Yeah.
She's had to try to get, like, different grants for kids to get eyeglasses. And
sure.
So maybe there's something that we're in, part of this work is that we maybe talk to our local schools and say, is there some sort of help that you think we as a community group could maybe, we'd like to talk about, again, talking to the experts, talking to the schools to say, you know, is there something that your resources that you guys consistently need that maybe, you know, a community group like us could help them get?
Yeah, we, like Davis School District has a teen center. Maybe they regularly need things besides money.
Well, I know, like Woods Cross High School had something where they,
yeah,
you know.
Where I used to live, the Lions Club had boxes out where they collect used eyeglasses so that they can, I mean, like, I have like 5 pairs of eyeglasses in a drawer that I don't know what to do with.
Oh, you can take them to Costco or Eyeglass World. They take them.
Do they go to people who need them?
Yeah, I don't know if they're in the United States, so they might be going around.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, but
most
they do.
Schools, like you said, have a group thing for students now.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that was cross. When I was at Rite, I didn't know about it.
It's,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Most high schools have that now.
They do.
It's clothing within the school.
Okay.
I have a question that I haven't known about. If we were to do some sort of competition between the schools for food drive, would there be an F1 school that just wins out every year? Or is it fairly
well? Orchard is probably the most, well, we only have elementary schools in the city. Orchard is probably the best off, but not by a lot.
No,
they would have
say
the wealthiest students, but they also have a big population that is not.
Mm-hmm.
So the disparity is biggest at Orchard.
What
whereas at Foxborough, kids are in a smaller range, and at Adelaide, they're in a smaller range.
Yeah.
What if it is weighted based on the number of students, you know, like X many pounds per student, so that it's,
I don't think the population from those schools are that different that it would make a difference.
Okay.
I guess we have to find out if the school administrators like that kind of thing or not. I mean,
I was kind of thinking, does Bountiful have a youth council? It could be our youth council against their youth council.
They do, and so does Woods Cross. They all have youth city councils.
Which one of those? Because then they can go out into all of the various communities, the school, the other schools, and also into businesses and trying.
That's better than the city managers and councils trying to figure out a competition. We can hardly speak to each other.
We just need some goofy trophy that those three youth councils get to fight over every year. This year, how much did you raise?
They all participate. Now that you're bringing that up, they're usually do in the Super Bowl of Caring.
Uh-huh.
Which that must be around the Super Bowl, I'm assuming, in January.
Was,
but the all the YCCs.
Yeah,
I just think
do.
That we could interject it if we had some really funny trophy that they wanted to win each year. And
so that's a good idea we could cultivate.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
thank you.
I think that was
good.
I think that was
good
discussion. Yes.
Thank you.
Kids
okay.
That.
Does anybody have any feedback from other committees? Okay.
Jeff probably doesn't know what this is. On this committee, everybody is assigned another committee in the city to be a liaison because our task is not really clear. We're trying to solve something that's so broad and in such big scope that we have gone to, and you know, because you sat on the BHR committee, where I think it was me, maybe it was somebody else who came and said, what feedback do you have for the Health and Wellness Committee? Was it Mason? Okay.
I was going to say Mason.
So you will then be assigned a committee, and it's just you can go to their meeting and then just say, hey, I'd love any feedback, things you think we should be focused on, but it's just keeping that relationship there, and you don't have to go to all their meetings by any stretch, and maybe checking in periodically to
be like a cool spy thing where we like, something
kind of way less cooler than that. Way less cooler than that.
Can I wear a wig?
Mason does PTAR. I do the seniors. And they have, see, this might be appealing to you. They have a monthly lunch.
It's a lot in common.
Well, no, they have a monthly lunch that's catered. Now, I don't know how long the catering part is gonna continue, but they have a lunch and I go. I actually go help serve it. But when I'm off the committee, that will be wide open, and I mean, if
nobody feeds me at the parks meeting.
Yeah, I mean, senior lunch bunch this coming Wednesday is R&R barbecue.
Well.
That's the pinnacle, though.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, that's a treat, so.
So just know that assignment will be coming.
Yeah.
But it does not have to be onerous.
But you can pick it. I mean, you know, there's multiple, like, do we have?
If you want to go back to parks, you can have, like, I don't know if you want a break or something.
But like, do we have a liaison to the youth city council? I don't think we do.
I don't think we do either.
Yeah, so that would be one. Seniors will be coming up, so. You could just sit and have lunch and talk to them. I don't, you know, I kind of do a fly on the wall kind of thing, so. And you'd get lunch. So, okay, next city council update. Do you have anything?
No, the only thing kind of pending is we did get the results of our most recent wellness survey, and they are not markedly different than the first round. So
Okay. They're
available online, and you're welcome to look at those. I do personally think that survey is an excellent guiding resource for what we do here and where we prioritize things here, but I don't think we need to spend much time going through it. It was
okay. Very
similar to the first round.
Yeah, the results are usually air quality is a top concern.
And community connection. That came up really strong.
Yeah,
too,
it does.
Which is
every time
what we're already talking about here.
Yeah.
So we're doing good.
Okay. Committee member business. The only thing I have is to follow up, Ken, and see, were you able to talk to Isa?
I haven't yet.
Okay. I know,
so
it was just a couple days ago.
No, I'll just remind her that the offer stands.
Okay.
Is that for the people?
Yes. And Jeff, what we're talking about is last summer there was this thing that Elisa was talking about, this conference. Mason and I also went. And
did we tell you about it at the Night Out Against Crime?
We talked about it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then discussion on agenda and schedule for the next meeting. So the ladies organization, what's it called?
Ladies of Charity.
Ladies of Charity. So
I wrote Sisters of Charity. Sorry,
Ladies of Charity. Sisters of Charity.
I have to
also
correct
in September
it.
Will be that same conference again, the Healthy Utah Conference, which
I would
encourage any of us that could attend
yeah.
to do.
What is the date of that next
I will look
meeting
it up right now?
So, I have some stuff with the One Kind Act thing.
Oh, okay.
Either next week or September 17th, either August 20th or September 17th. So I'll go back. A couple weeks ago, we went out with some volunteers and we knocked doors to put out signs on properties. Excuse me. Everyone who was home who answered, everyone except for one guy who we woke up from his nap, was really excited about our sign. that gentleman wasn't. And so either next week on the 20th or September 17th, we're going out with the Youth City Council to do it again. We're talking with them. We just have to get back to them about which date works.
Is that something that can be publicized on social media?
Like for volunteers?
Well, for volunteers, but also just the program that Linda could push out.
She's been putting a lot.
We have.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You need
to
follow her on social media.
I do,
yeah.
But...
Sure you do.
I look at Facebook multiple times a day.
You have to mark it as your favorite. So
it
will mark it as your favorite
awful.
So that it's
yeah.
And they're now charging more. It's like,
really?
Oh, we recommend at least $75 of this post. You used to could spend 10 or 20
to
kind of
boost a post?
Yeah, and now
per
I mean,
post?
Yeah, so I don't boost most. I do
yeah.
for events. I usually kind of pick one post but anyway, it's kind of ridiculous, so it's frustrating. It's got to figure out better ways to communicate with the residents.
Okay, the conference is, it's the theme is Connected Communities Summit this year, and it's September 18th and 19th. And it's at Utah Valley Community convention center.
We'll look it up and get, and put information out for you guys, and we'll get everybody registered that wants to go.
2 days instead of Wednesday?
Yeah. Double check, that's the same one. It's on their website?
Because they did that one in May, and I was wondering why they did it so early this year.
It was in May? I just remember it was really hot.
Well, the ours was in September.
Oh.
But then they did it again this year in May.
Yeah.
But the one we went to was in September.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on their website as their annual.
We'll look it up and send you guys an email on it.
Okay. Thank you.
But yeah, with signs, if you have any help with them around City Hall or you want to refresh, just let us know. Because we don't want anybody to.
With what?
One kind of today signs. If you ever need them.
I think you or someone brought. Some.
Kylie, yeah, she brought some.
Yeah.
These ones that were like, find them in the street, they blew away.
Okay.
We could probably use one out at Public Works, our
okay.
Public Works building.
I'll
I'm thinking.
Kylie, she'll be really excited.
Yeah, we'd be willing to put
one
out there.
Yeah, cut some trees down in that park strip.
Yeah, you just stick one in the park strip.
Okay, anything else that anybody specifically wants to discuss other than having Ladies of Charity come?
I would like to revisit the homelessness kind of plan.
Okay, so Alisa will be on for homelessness.
Yeah. And this is on September 9th is what I have on my calendar. Is that what you all have as the next meeting?
That sounds right. Second
Monday.
Yeah.
We should also talk about the Latino Heritage Night, which is September 23rd.
Okay, Latino Heritage?
Yeah.
And what date is that?
The 23rd. It's the same night as the last event,
mm-hmm.
The Monday Night Food Trucks and Vendor Fair.
Oh, okay.
That's the one I love the most, Latino Heritage.
It is a good one.
Because you like tacos.
It has fantastic food.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else you'd like to discuss? I see no hands, so we'll adjourn.
Yay, thank you.
Doesn't somebody have to second that?
You can adjourn the meeting.
Yeah,
adjourning
yep.
Does not
get
second.
No.
I'll turn off the recording. People like to motion.
That
I think
might not be the right.
That's great.
They're advertising.